Welcome to the Passion Behind the Art Show. It's all about diving in with individuals to learn the story behind their passion. It's your host, Daryl Pena.
It's another week, another amazing guest, and another opportunity for me to bring you value through someone else's story. This week's episode is brought to you by Liquid Web, a premium, high-performing hosting company. They work with companies like Home Depot, National Geographic, FedEx, and much more. You can go to liquidweb.com and use the promo code PASSION33. That's PASSION33 to save 33% off your first 3 months. So without further ado, let's jump into this week's episode.
Oh my goodness. Episode 100 live event was amazing. So much value. Each guest broke down just various ways on how they turned their passion into dollars. And I mean, I'm just so thankful, so grateful for each guest, so grateful for each person that came on and joined. Like, it was just an amazing experience. Yes, I was beat after just streaming live for 9 hours. It was crazy, but it was well worth it. You guys are in for a treat. Truly a treat. So get ready for an amazing experience on how each guest turned their passion into dollars.
All right, I am back. And if you missed the first hour with no technical difficulties, so that's super cool. So, and remember, the focus of this is how to turn your passion into dollars. And my passion is designing. And the different ways that I have created revenue with my designing is, of course, someone hiring me to design something. That's one way. And that's usually the first way, you know. Of course, there's different ways that people started out, but that's the first way. And if I want, for those who are watching, that's not a designer, like, I want you to put it in your thing. So say you're into fitness and you want to create revenue or turn the fitness into something more than just you being fit or serving other people. I want you to start thinking about all the advice, all the information that you're getting, and translate it for your thing. All right. Dustin, awesome. He is here. Yes. 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 So we're gonna jump right into it.
Dude, thank you, man. Thank you. Thank you for doing this, dude.
Yeah, you bet. I'm upstairs in our entertainment room. I didn't realize we're watching some of our relatives. We have four little girls and a little boy here today, so it's crazy.
Oh, man, that's, I mean, I appreciate the sacrifice, bro.
Oh, no, I'm happy to talk to you. I was like, oh, cool.
All right, so Dustin, kind of give us a quick snippet of who you are and the empire that you've built.
So I'm the owner of Retro Supply. We sell digital brushes, textures, fonts for Procreate, Illustrator, Photoshop, Affinity, Designer, and we've become, it's really hard to gauge this type of thing, but I would assume we're one of the top 20 in the, at least the United States, maybe in the world. I don't know, to be honest. I mean, like, for an independent one, we're a pretty big one. And it basically started from, I had a little girl on the way, and I was broke in debt, and I just started this business out of a Starbucks in a Mountain View, California, and it just really blew up. It was really a blessing. Within 3 months, I think it had made, at least off the top of my head, I think it had made $30,000 or $40,000 in the first 3 months, and we're on scheduled to make nearly $1 million. We go past our stretch goal, make over $1 million this year. So, and this is our 7th year of business. So, you know, most businesses don't make it past even a year, so it's been a good run.
So I stand corrected. I was saying that you're 6 figures. It's about to be 7 figures.
if we have a good year, it'll be seven figures. If I come up with some clever things, or if I'm listening well to my customers, it'll be a seven figure.
That's amazing, bro. That is so amazing. Like, I just want everyone to kind of hear those kind of languages and hear the possibilities out there. So I know your main way of generating revenue is through Retro Supply Co. So kind of go through the different ways you kind of throughout the process from your career, how you generated revenue.
Yeah. So what we started on, I started by myself on Creative Market, which for anyone that hasn't been on it is a really big marketplace now for selling anything design related, you know, from fonts to templates, to actions, to software, to plugins, I mean, whatever. I started selling on there, and that's how I got my numbers the first year. And I have on top of a design background, I have an online marketing background. So I immediately started driving traffic to my own site and getting people to opt in for my email list. And I mean, basically, it was just rinse and repeat. It was just constantly building that email list and making new products and surveying people and listening to customers. And when a product did well, expanding on that product line and just repeating that over and over and over again. And, you know, as time goes by, more people know you, and you find ways to sell higher priced items. For instance, we have an item called the I Want It All Kit, which is a physical box we send in the mail. And that costs like $500. So we've just tried to go across all the segments, you know, from someone that wants to just buy a $9 Procreate pack, that's like a really great pack, to someone that wants to buy everything we've ever made for $500, you know. So I guess it'd be either email, social media, and then just time. A lot of it's just time and showing up.
That's amazing, man. The coolest thing is, which is what I want to emphasize the most, is just how we can not just trade time for money. And I feel like you're a literally perfect example of that. Of course, there's some maintenance time and there's a promoting time, but kind of talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. I should preface this by saying that it does take more time than I thought it would. I mean, the truth is I could stop and I would probably make money for like a couple of years at least. I think it would go down, and I'm getting to the point now where like I have my first official. I've had a lot of contractors working for me, so that's leveraged my time by hiring contractors. So one thing I would say is invest in your business. You know, I mean, I know you got to take care of yourself. You want to put money in your savings account. But you also want to find ways to eliminate tasks that aren't core tasks to making money. So email started to become a really big thing. You know, people wanted to respond to customer service. And that's huge because the barrier to entry to sell digital products is so low. I mean, all it is you just have to invest a little bit of time and you can make a product. So to stand out, what I started doing was investing in things like customer service and making sure that like we had that. So I can't do all that. So I decided, okay, you have to give up some of the earnings and invest that into having a customer service person that really cares. I would say focus on making things that you can sell over and over again. Designers are in the perfect position to do this. In fact, I think the irony of it is that most designers, to some degree, are making these kind of assets for their clients.
Right.
And that's making their clients passive income, so to speak, or really passive income is a little deceiving. It's really more not trading time for money, like you said. So, you know, think about what you can sell. Can you make tutorials and put them on YouTube of the stuff you're doing? If you're working on a client's thing, make YouTube videos of it. Put the YouTube videos up, build a following. And once you've got a big enough following, offer them something for sale. They'll buy it.
Right.
If you make something for yourself that you use over and over again, make it available to other people. My friend Ian Bernard, he did, you know, big hand lettering artist, right? Like 400,000 or 300,000 followers on Instagram. He does amazing lettering work. He had all these grids that he'd use for doing his lettering. Put the grids up for sale. He made a fortune. You know, he had it anyways. It was just sitting around. He started selling these grids. My friend was another friend was like a hand letterer. He hated doing the little fill letters in between the big words. Jeremy Bessie from Hustle Supply Co. So he made a font that was just the little fill letters in the hand lettering, right? He put it up. He was in the forums hanging out with letterers. He knew they all hated doing it. It sold like crazy. And that was the beginning of, I mean, like an empire for this guy. I mean, this guy has made well over $1 million selling this stuff. So Yeah, find things you do that you can package up and sell, whether that's through video or audio or writing a little book about it, or getting something you do in Illustrator or Photoshop.
Yeah, I love it, man. Especially the whole idea of the recording. So, like, for example, even if someone is like watching this and they're not a designer, like, if you have a skill, and I was talking about, like, if you're a personal trainer or something like that, you could literally record some of your best routines and stuff like that and try to refurbish that and generate revenue from it without necessarily have to go be booking appointments to train someone. You know what I mean? And that's what we're talking about when we say, like, not trading time for money. Of course, there's maintenance time. Of course, there's time to promote. Of course, there's all these times that you got to put in. But the ability to say, okay, I can make this video or make this product, and I don't have to keep making it over and over again, and it still can bring in revenue, I think that's key.
Absolutely. Yeah, you nailed it. There's a fantastic book called Rework by the guys that started Basecamp. Which Basecamp is project management software for really anyone that works, but mostly creatives use it and coders and stuff. But they wrote a book called Rework, and something they said is something like, don't throw away your garbage. So mm-hmm. We all have things we do, right? Like you're saying with your workout, right? If you're doing the workout, you're doing it anyways. So you might as well record it. Like that's not, people don't think of doing that, but yeah, Basecamp does that. You know, if they're coding, they write a blog post all about how they've solved the problem in coding. That could have just been garbage. They never mentioned anybody. That they made it into something valuable that helps other people solve the problem. So
that's awesome, man. That's awesome. Thank you, man. That's awesome. So what are some of the ways that, because I was talking to Mae De Leon earlier, and the same thing that you brought up was the email list. And mm-hmm. I feel like if you want to do something like this, the best thing to do is create an email list. And a growing email list. Like, give some insight, because you are a marketing beast. I just want to say that, especially email. You're an email marketing beast. Me and Diane was talking about that the other day. I feel like Dustin, you're a beast at that. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, I really think that a lot of people don't like marketing. I think a lot of designers have a conflict in their mind. Most designers, you know, started as artists when they were young, right? And at some point, someone told them, or they decided the way to make money as an artist is maybe to be a designer, for instance. And so we have this weird relationship with asking people to pay money, because artists don't do that. It's about the art, right? So I think that a lot of designers keep that kind of thing where they feel uncomfortable marketing. So my advice is buy some marketing books. Buy the ones that when you go on Amazon, look marketing books, just that section. Look for books that speak to you. I'm not even going to recommend any books. Just go look for the ones where you like the cover, or you like the title, or you like what it's promising, and start digging in and find something you're interested in. That might be email. That might be social media. That might be, going door to door. That might be making YouTube videos. Whatever the thing is for you that like pulls you in, do it. For me, it was email. And email, what I like about email is, first of all, I worked for a company before this called Paid to Exist, which was a company that helped people make a living from their passion. And when I saw that business, I saw that when he sent an email out, he could make thousands and thousands of dollars in a day, sometimes within hours. And I was like, whoa, like I always thought email lists were kind of like, you don't need it really. It's not a big deal. It's optional. In my opinion, an email list is not optional, because when you're on social media, right, who controls that? You know, this is almost a cliche at this point, but Instagram or Facebook, these people own it. They don't want everyone to see it. They want you to pay for more people to see it. With your email list, you send an email, you send it out. No one is going to try to target those people and compete against you. Your product's not going to be, you know, one amongst 100 on a page of other competitors. It's just you and the person you're selling to talking. And you're in their inbox, and you almost can be guaranteed that, like, they will see it, at least see the headline, right? The subject line of your email. So the conversion rate on getting a sale through email is very high. So I think email is a good investment of a way to communicate with customers, because it feels more intimate, has a higher conversion rate. And I think the secret to good email is to not sound corporate. So a lot of times people, you know, try to sound corporate, or they make it look like a, You know how you see some emails and you immediately know it's like a full of colors and big photos? I don't think that's the best way to go. Like for me,
wow.
One time I did this one. My car had broken down. I've had the Camry since I was like 24, like this 1998 Toyota Camry with like 260,000 miles on it. And we had two kids and it broke down and I thought, well, how could I make this like into something interesting for my business? So I took a photo of the Camry and then I sent out an email with the headline of something like Black Toyota Camry Blues or something like that. And I just told people the truth. I was just like, man, like this Camry just broke down. I'm going to shoot straight with you. Like I need to make money to buy a new car. So I'm having it was like a 50% off, some huge sales. Like I'm having a huge sale and people want to know why, right? Like that really helps. So tell them that story of that Camry. Sent them a picture of the Camry, told them why I was doing it. And I must have made $7,000 or $8,000 off of that email. And I got so many emails back from people where they were like sending me pictures of their Camry, telling me how solid Camrys were, you know, telling me how they were so loyal to Toyota. But, you know, like that stands out, right? Like that stands out a lot more than say like, an Abercrombie and Fitch, whatever it's called, you know, email. It looks like a person sending it when you send a picture of your broken down Camry.
Like that is like a crazy tip right there. Like I didn't even think of that. Just being like straight up for one, and two, just making it seem like you're actually sending one email, like me and you sending an email between each other, but it's going out to thousands of people. I feel like you saying that like, because I feel like there's a lot of people that's stressing about email layout, about which image is going to go right here, which image is going to go there and all of that stuff. And they just stressing out about that when you just basically was like, listen, I need this. My Camry's, I'm having car trouble. Guys, let's make this happen.
Well, I think that I'm still learning this lesson. Even, you know, I still have to be reminded of this constantly. And I still fail. And whenever, the more truthful I am, the more transparent I am, the more successful I am. Without exception. It's real easy to put on the sale and be like, blah, blah, blah. And like you said, like you might want to lay things out all fancy. But I've really learned from doing those layouts that when you look at conversion rates and how much money you make, layouts, people look at it real quick. They don't care about layouts. They care about what's the headline, what's the value for me. They're not looking at it like art. They're looking at it like, are you going to give me something interesting to me that I need or want? And if you just like say, well, this sale is happening, and you try to deceive people or don't tell them the full story, we all know people are smart. People are just like, you know, me and you. Their people aren't just like lemmings. People see and they know, they can immediately tell when you're trying to pull a fast one. So the best thing to do is just tell your story, be interesting, tell the banal parts of your day. And people will relate to it and people will buy. It's when people start to feel like you're hiding something from them, even if you're not.
Mm-hmm.
If you're trying to puff yourself up bigger than you are, and right. They can like smell something's not right about it,
mm-hmm.
It doesn't work as well.
Dude, that's some good advice right there. Someone posted a question and they were like, what marketing provider, email marketing provider are you using?
Yeah, so for, up until 3 or 4 months ago, I used MailChimp and it worked great. I was really happy with them. So that was around, you know, so 6 years almost of using MailChimp. My list has gotten pretty big, and because there's so much different software now, you know, Photoshop, Illustrator, Procreate, Affinity, I moved to something called Klaviyo, which is e-commerce email marketing software, and it allows me to segment, which is really huge. So as an example, before I was segmenting, and segmenting for anyone who's like not into email marketing is basically chopping your list up into very specific groups. People that use Procreate, people that use Affinity, people that haven't opened an email in 3 months, people that are like hyper aware of what you're doing and are constantly buying. All these people respond to different messages, right? So I got into this software, and I'll give you an example. Like before, my open rates might have been, send it to say like my list was 50,000 people. You send an email out, you might get a 20% open rate or open rate and maybe like a 2% click rate. That's like industry standard, right?
Right.
So that's okay. But when you segment, I might get a 50% open rate and an 8% click-through rate. So if you're doing that with all those segments, you've just like doubled your revenue essentially, or doubled your engagement. So Klaviyo now.
Oh, that's cool. Price.
A little more complicated, but same price.
And that's crazy. Like just to give everyone an example of kind of perspective on numbers, like 2% is like the standard, like click-through rate. So if you're getting like 8% click-through rate, like that's serious.
Yeah, it is. When I first started segmenting and seeing those click-through rates, it was. Opening an email takes a lot, right? Especially with Google's promotions tab.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So to really boost it up there, you got to talk directly to somebody. You know, if I say, here's some new products, and I send it to 50,000 people, some people will open it. But if I know that someone loves Procreate and they just bought a Procreate pack 3 days ago in the evening, and I send them an email in the evening because I know that's when they're home and it's for Procreate, and I say, something about them being a night owl and loving Procreate, and here's like for your side project, that open rate's going to go through the roof because they're going to say, man, you're speaking directly to me. Like, this feels like it's a one-on-one conversation.
So that's a pretty good tip, like making it, tailoring it to that specific group that you're trying to reach out to.
Exactly. And you had alluded to the idea, which I think is so true, of even if you're not segmenting, which you definitely don't have to do, write like you're writing to one person. Picture a friend that is someone that would buy from you. And write just like you would to them. Don't worry about proper grammar or anything like that. You know, think about how you would write an email to someone. You know, like you throw it off real fast. It might not be totally perfect grammar. Keep it short sentences. Keep it short paragraphs. Don't make it into a Russian novel. You know, and it will do better than if you try to like get all fancy with it.
That's some good tips. So it's just basically like, be like a real person. Be like a real person and act like there's a real person on the other end.
Yeah. Isn't that strange that we've gotten to a point where the best tip you can give people is to act like you're human?
But you see, the thing is, to be honest, like for you, I feel like that's especially a big deal because you're dealing with like a way bigger email list. You know what I mean? You're dealing. So like when you're talking about like 50, 60, 100,000 emails, like sometimes you could get caught up in the numbers. You know what I mean? And forget. But for you to even be saying that, that's crazy to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is. It at first, like, well, it built slowly. You know, you start with like a list of a couple hundred, then it's 1,000, then it's a couple thousand. Then one day, all of a sudden, you have 50,000. And I'm talking to my wife being like, oh, my gosh, there's 50,000 people on this email list. But like at the end of the day, like I see Zach Wilkinson's on here. He's bought some products from me. I've seen him at conferences. I know him really well. I love Zach, and he's a person. Like, I can't emphasize that enough. You know, like Zach has things he loves. He's funny. You know, he has his particular things that he's into. And I think when you like really start to just remember that every single person on the other side of that computer is like that. Is a person that you might hang out with and have coffee with, and that is, you know, struggling with a crazy kid or house full of kids like me right now, or has, you know, all sorts of things going on. When that happens, when you start to realize that, you start to talk differently.
I love that. It's easier to
talk. We're talking easy, right?
Right.
One really great tip I heard one time was, for most people, they're so bad at writing emails because of the pressure, and I include myself in this. The best way to write a great email is almost to just use like the auto dictation on your phone and just talk like we are, mm-hmm. and let it just record it and turn it into words. Paste that. Talk like you're talking on the phone. Have it dictate it. Paste it into your email. Fix up, clean up the grammar a little bit. Put some commas in. And send that. That's going to sound probably way more human than you will. We all get in that weird mode when we write an email where we start using words we've never really used. And, you know?
That is, dude, like, I love it. Love it, Dustin. I love it. Yeah, I've never really, I don't think I've met Zach in person yet, but we've communicated online. Cool dude, definitely.
He is, man, yeah. Are you going to Creative South by chance?
Yes, I will be there.
Okay, I think he's going to be there. Yeah. I mean, yeah. The other cool thing, man, is like, I mean, how long have you had your podcast for now?
All right, so I started in 2016. I wasn't really serious until probably about 2017.
Okay. So you're probably starting to experience this. You know, you start to like have, you know, like video calls like we met, you know, so now we'll see each other creative stuff. We have a relationship, you know, we'll go grab coffee if we have time or ice cream
or
something, right? And that's been the neatest part. I mean, dude, I love Zach. I mean, there's so many people like that you meet. It's really, and you know what they say, like happiness, like most happiness doesn't come from money or something like that. It comes from friends. I love going to this thing to see people like you, see people like Zach. And it's fun to see friends. I don't know about you, but I don't have a lot of great friends. I have a handful. And when I get to hang around a bunch of people that geek out on design with me, that feels so good. So that's one of the biggest benefits of business is if you're just yourself, you end up having people that you have relationships with that are like, oh man, I feel like I know you. And then it's like, next thing you know, you're, you know, eating sushi together or walking down the street talking.
Dude, I want to echo that. Like, I'm celebrating my 100th episode. But at the end of the day, like, a lot, it's created different opportunities. It's created great opportunities for me, this podcast. But more than anything else, the most valuable thing to me is the relationships that I've built. Like, I wouldn't, like from the heart, like, the relationships that I've built through this podcast, it's hands down the greatest.
It's true. I was talking to someone the other day, and we were asking each other if we had three wishes, what would they be? And it was like, you know, for our kids to grow up healthy and happy, well-adjusted individuals, to have wisdom, and have good friends. I mean, what more can you have, man? If you have a couple good friends, some wisdom, a little bit of wisdom, and I don't know, maybe some good
food.
Like, you're good to go, right?
That is so true. That is so true. All right, so before we go any further, I know you're planning, you said you're going to give away a shirt, right? Mm-hmm. All right, so
we can give away more than that if you want.
It's your call, bro.
Yeah, let's give away a bunch of stuff.
All right, so do you have any ways that you want to give this away? Anything that you would like, anyone?
Gosh, I wasn't ready for this question.
No worries, man. No pressure. I mean, I'll throw something out there.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, first of all, why don't we give 3 shirts away?
Nice. Nice.
And why don't we give like 5 $20 credits away? Like coupon. Woo! Or coupon credit code things.
You said 5?
Yeah.
Nice.
I mean, for 5 different people.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
So that's 8 people in all that's going to be getting some.
Yep.
That's cool. So one of the things that I've been doing to kind of get this out there was to tell people to kind of screenshot this and share it. I don't know if you want to do that.
Yeah, whatever you want, if you can actually figure that part out, how we want to give them away, that'd be great.
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll figure that part out, and then I'll just let you know who's gonna get it. So, okay. Screenshot this and share it on your stories, on your profile feed, anywhere. And if you're sharing it outside of Instagram, you're gonna have to tag DP Creates at DP Creates, you know, and then I'll be able to follow and credit you. But Instagram is much easier. You could just tag us so you know you have the profiles right here. So you could share it, screenshot it through your stories on your feed. And once I take a break after I interview Dustin, then I will let everyone know who won. Easy. Cool. So that's 8 people. 3 are going to get shirts. You have any shirt size, right? You have basically all.
I saw Dave Clayton, who, by the way, is an awesome dude.
Yes, extremely awesome.
Yeah, Dave Clayton is one of my favorite people in the whole world.
I'm there with you, man.
Yeah, see, that's like you're saying, like that's another example. Someone I've met, it's just like.
Yeah, I met Dave last year at Creative South.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he lives in the UK, but if he lived around here, I mean, I trust this guy babysitting my kids. In fact, I would have babysitting my kids. Uncle Dave.
That sounds perfect, Uncle Dave.
I'll show you the shirt. So here's the ones we have. We might have to surprise you based on what size the person says they are. But one we have, this was made by Chris DeLorenzo, who is done a lot of illustrations for, I believe, The New Yorker, like on a regular basis. Let me flip around. So him and then Amir Ayuni of Growcase, who's also another amazing illustrator from Sweden, made this shirt.
Nice.
And then we have another shirt called The Looming Deadline, which is like we tried to emulate the look of a Hardy Boys book. But it's especially relatable to designers because who hasn't had that deadline that snuck up on them?
Sweet.
And yeah, and then they had to like do all the work in like a 16-hour day or something crazy like that.
But you're going to my pastimes when you start talking about Hardy.
Yeah. I have like that, I bought the whole collection of them, the old school ones. I actually have like the first edition copy of. Yeah, I love Hardy Boys.
Oh my gosh.
This one by far is the most popular, so I'll try to send this to anyone I can.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
People dig skulls. So
okay, cool. So that's 8 people. You guys can share and all that good stuff, and 8 individuals will begin. I'm so excited about that. Dude,
yeah,
Dustin,
man, I'm excited.
Thank you.
Oh, man, you bet. I mean, congratulate. I mean, first of all, it's been great. We've only talked a couple times in person. We've talked on emails a lot of times. But man, you're an amazing person. I'm looking forward to seeing you at Creative South. I just respect, you know, anyone that just keeps going, man. It's amazing, you know, and inspiring that you've kept going. I know how hard that is. So congratulations, man, especially with 4 kids, all that other stuff you got going on. So thanks for your support. Thanks for inviting me on. Just congratulations, man. I'm looking forward to meeting you in person.
Likewise. So you see that, like, we've never actually met like face to face, which is gonna be awesome when it happens, but you could still be building quality relationships, people. I just want to kind of open everyone's possibilities out there, because you know you're in this world, I'm in this world, and we kind of forget that, like, we are still a small percentage of the people that kind of see all these possibilities and are able to do all these things. There are a lot of people out there that feel stuck or are still in this one spot. And maybe it's more in my face because I'm still going to, outside of all the stuff that I do, which feels like a full-time job, I still go to a day job and I'm still around these people. And I feel like a lot of them just feel like they're stuck and they can't get out, and to kind of open these possibilities.
Man, do I have time to say something about that?
Of course, yes, for sure.
Okay,
yes,
so I remember if our time
yes,
is over.
Yes, you got time.
Okay, this is something that's like really like I've really thought about over the past couple of years is about, so I have something called Passive Income for Designers, right? It's a site where people can go and they can learn about making a passive income. And something I've noticed from that, and this is in the sell now. I'm not trying to get people to go there and sign up for an email list. I'm mentioning this because what I've noticed is there's a lot of people in there that express that same sentiment that you talked about. They're frustrated. They're trying to get ahead. They're trying to, you know, make 6 figures a year with some side hustle or whatever. And my feeling on it is this, like, first of all, like, for anyone who's made it that is being honest with themselves, a lot of it is luck. There's a lot of luck involved. There's a lot of being in the right place at the right time. I'm not saying that like working hard and like being prepared isn't a huge part of it. It is. And people should do that. But people, I think, need to lots of times give themselves credit and realize people get lucky and some people do better. People, luck exists and bad luck exists. Some people have bad luck. You know, they go through a hard time and things don't happen. That doesn't, because someone else succeeded doesn't mean that there's something inherently wrong with you. It just means that person was lucky. They were in the right place. They had the right relationship. Maybe they figured something else, but they stumbled on it, you know? Ooh. And I guess I just mean, like, if you're an in-house designer and, you know, you're doing, I don't know, car insurance ads or, you know, photoshopping shoes for a living, that is all very work that people should be proud that they're doing, and that's really the work that is making like commerce happen, that's supporting families, that takes guts and bravery to go to every day and do. And I don't think those people get enough credit, and I think people give themselves way too hard a time when something doesn't blow up. I mean, it doesn't, first of all, you know, cliche, it doesn't make you happy. Second of all, it's the exception to the rule. I know I'm an exception to the rule. I got really lucky, man. I was really blessed that stuff happened to me. Anyways, I just really want people to not create that feeling in their head that if I am not working every night, if I'm not making this much money, that I'm somehow a failure. No, you're not. If you're taking care of your kids, if you're taking care of yourself, if you're going to your job, man, you're awesome, you know? Not you, but everybody. Like,
yeah, yeah.
if Retro Supply went under, you know, it would be hard, and I would have to go to that job. But man, most people are doing those quiet little jobs that are important. They're just as awesome as, you know, whatever someone else is doing.
Yeah, I think you kind of touched what I was talking about earlier. Is that, you know, there's this narrative that, you know, quit your day job and go for this thing. Quit your day job and go for this thing. And you know what I mean? And I just want to let everyone know, and that's what I was saying earlier, like, there's nothing wrong with having a day job. There is zero. Dustin is going to, I know he's about to have a full-time employee if he didn't already. Like, someone needs to be an employee and someone needs to be the boss. I mean, it's just the way of life. And I just want everyone, like, if I was to tell someone something, I would like to tell you that ideally try to get a job into something that you enjoy doing. That's the advice I would give. But this idea, okay, quit your day job. It's not even like, if everyone quits their day job, there's like no, it doesn't logically make sense.
Right.
For everything to work.
Yeah. I mean, by definition in capitalism, for someone to be successful, other people have to be the losers, the ones that are not successful. Not losers in the derogatory way, but some people win that game and some people lose. And if that dichotomy didn't exist, we wouldn't even have successes. That's by definition, success exists because some people fail. And they don't fail because they're bad people or they're not as clever or they're not as smart. They fail because some people fail, man. Like, I got, the reason my business took off to a large degree was because I got in a creative market at the perfect time. There was under 500 shops. There was probably under 100 active shops. And they were looking for stars, you know, like, and I mean that in the most modest way. They were looking for people to showcase on that site. And I was someone that was aggressively doing stuff that launched that business. It could have been somebody else. I just got really lucky. And so like what you're saying, man, like, someone has to be an employee, and there's nothing wrong with being an employee at all. I mean, we need that. It's no better or worse. It's just different.
Right, right. Because trust me, like, the number 10 or the number 50 at Instagram or Twitter, they're doing quite fine. They're probably doing better than this person that just upped and quit their job and saying, I'm going off to my doing my thing. You know what I mean? I feel like, oh, if you want to have a side hustle, go for it. Like, if you feel like, you know what I mean? Some people are built to run a business. Like, they're just, like, their mind, it's just built to run a business. Some people are not. And some of those things, you know what I mean? I'm not sure if it can be learned or not, but I know generically, genetically, some people are just built to, like, okay, I need to run a business. And some, like my wife, for example, like, the running a business idea, like, it's overwhelming to her because that's not her thing. But I would tell her, like, go into a job that, and anyone else, go into a job that you feel like, you know, you feel fulfilled. You feel like, okay, I enjoy going into doing this every day. And that, it all comes with perspective and you kind of knowing why the heck you're doing everything that you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, don't spend your life feeling like beating yourself up. Man, I'm one of those people, you know, I have a lot of anxiety about things. I think part of the reason I struggled for years to make a business succeed. And I beat myself up so hard that I couldn't get it to work for years and years. And I look back and I'm like, man, you're way too hard on yourself. And I look at you have kids. You know, you look at your kids and you think about people as adults. They used to be kids. Don't be so hard. I look at my kids. I'm like, don't be so hard on yourself. You know, they'll draw a couple lines on their paper when they're drawing a picture and they wrinkle it up and throw it in the garbage, man. I'm like, dude, don't be so harsh on yourself. Fill that page up. Make it what it is. Like, do the best you can. Fill that page up and
just keep going.
Yeah, don't be so hard on yourself. Have a cup of coffee. You know, go take yourself out to McDonald's. You know, stop. Just do. I mean, man, you know, everything that you want to be happy is right in front of you. You know, all this simple stuff, watching a Netflix movie, having a cup of coffee, talking to you. I mean, all this stuff is free, you know?
For real. I'm there with you, man. And I know that's a big part of your message, and because it's not the first time I heard you talk about this and like stop being so hard on yourself. I know that's a big part of your message. Dude, Dustin, this has been amazing. Amazing, bro.
It has. I'm so glad to talk to you again. I miss talking to you. We should talk more. I'm glad to come see each other next week.
Yes, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. A quick plug for Creative South. Everyone who's going to Creative South, like, if you see me, you probably see me because I'm going to be doing some borderline podcasting and volunteering. I love giving back to that conference. As much as I can, I will.
Oh, so you're going to be volunteering with Diane?
Yeah. I'm always trying to give back to that conference.
Oh, man, that's awesome, man.
Well, for those who just joined, this is the live stream of the 100th episode of the Passion Behind the Art Show, and this is Dustin Lee, and we're going to his episode is going to come out Friday. So I'm testing going 2 episodes a week. As a fellow podcaster, you know that's kind of like madness, but I'm going to try just for this and see how it goes, and then we'll go from there. But Dustin, dude, this has been amazing. Thanks again, bro. I really appreciate you, man.
Thank you. It's been so great to know you. You made my life better knowing you. I appreciate everything you do.
Thanks again, dude. Peace.
All right, see ya.
All right.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode. I hope it's been super valuable to you and you're now ready to take your audience building, your community growing to the next level to help you and help me build our empire, for lack of a better word, or just to build our thing. Remember to stop by iTunes, Passion Behind the Art, and leave a review and subscribe. It's very important to me. It helps the podcast grow. And it makes me feel good to kind of hear from you guys, to know what you like about this podcast, what it's done for you. So jump on iTunes and subscribe and leave a review. Passion Behind the Art. Be blessed.